Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Style. Stephen Kyle.
Living in style.
Stephen Kyle.
Steve Kyle.
Living in style.
Oof. Boy, that does not get old.
That brings you in.
I mean,
you know, if you're sitting there right now, your headphones on, and you're not rocking back and forth, well, one, you're a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you just don't understand how to properly bring in an audience.
Yeah.
That is exquisite.
Maybe we'll fire the old EDM remix, too, just for good measure.
Yeah.
Sorry, got an email in the middle of that. Yes.
Oh,
I love how robotic we sound.
Absolutely. It fits the theme, you know. We did the cartoon filter for our logo.
Yeah.
The robot music for our themes. Now, you said you gave that guy's My Ponderous Podcast a listen
to. I did.
And you texted me and said, whoa, that's a bit over my head.
I'm glad that you reminded me of that. Yeah, I was working at my hobby job last week. I have my real job, and then I have my hobby job.
Sure.
Where I work in a shop making truck parts.
Right.
Basically feeding metal into machines.
Oh, really?
And hitting a green button that says start or run, and then like 8 to 10 minutes later it beeps and I take the metal out. And then I put new metal in, and I hit that button again, and it does it all. I'm basically a machinist.
Look at you.
I know that we've talked about that on the radio show before, and I've gotten a lot of flack from people who don't consider me a machinist because, I mean, they know all the ins and outs of how the machines work. They get a little fussy, but, I mean, I'm basically a machinist.
Well, yeah.
I know everything that I'm doing.
You're essentially making blocks of steel.
Okay.
I mean,
I put raw materials in, and then a part comes out, and no one else is involved in the process except for me. So I'm essentially seeing it from start to finish.
Absolutely. So, you're would you call yourself a junior machinist or just full-fledged?
Oh, no, I'm a machinist.
You're a full-fledged machinist. Okay.
Yeah. CNC machinist.
Not even a journeyman?
No.
You could open a shop tomorrow.
Yeah, not an apprentice. I'll probably have an apprentice at some point.
Oh, okay. And then would you teach that apprentice how to feed said stuff into the machine?
Well, no. I mean, I can't teach them all my secrets. There's a reason that I'm getting paid the big bucks.
Yeah, there's a danger associated in you know, to your title that you can't just let any Joe Schmo do that.
So
I understand.
It's kind of monotonous work. I mean, granted, super important in every way work.
Yeah.
And not just anybody can push those green buttons and put pieces of metal into a big machine. So while it seems like you're feeling better.
But, oh, God.
So while I'm doing that, while I'm working on the, you know, working on the machines, working on the chain gang, pumping out parts, and watching revenue go through the roof for the company.
Right.
I need something to listen to. So last week I was there a couple of days, and I thought, oh, our friend, our podcast buddy, at My Ponderous Podcast. I'm going to listen to that, yeah. And I'm going to see what he talks about, because you said you listened to the first few minutes of it.
Snippet.
And so I listened to, I think he had two episodes posted.
Yep.
And I listened to both of them, and man, is that stuff over my head. He seems like he's a regular guy, but just living, like, functioning at so much higher of a level than I am.
Was he just talking intellectual type of stuff, or just questions you would never think about to consider?
Kind of a little bit of both. He was talking about common situations that everybody's in, but thinking about them in a way that I would never think about. Like, the one, the first episode, he talked about, say you walk into a public restroom, go to the bathroom, you wash your hands.
Yeah.
You're left with the option of paper towels to dry your hands or the hand dryer to dry your hands. Which one do you go with? Well, it seems like a simple, like, you know, oh, I prefer paper towels, or I prefer the dryer. But he broke it down on, like, what effect each of those is having. Like, if you're going to use the paper towels, obviously a tree had to be cut down for that. So which one is affecting the earth more? Using the hand dryer, using the paper towels? And so you think, okay, well, maybe it's got to be paper towels because a tree had to be cut down for it.
Sure.
But the tree's already been cut down, so you using that paper towel is not really affecting that tree because it's already been cut down. See what I'm talking about?
It's like, that's so weird.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, what the hell, man?
And how what do you 98% of people aren't thinking about that question on that plane.
No, and that's like, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed thinking about it like that. I'm like, so for the next week, every time I was in the bathroom, I'm like,
what do I do now?
I mean, I only have the option of paper towels. And granted, yeah, that tree is already cut down. But, I mean, me using it is going to eventually lead to
another one.
Yeah, because the supply is running out. And now there's the demand for another. What do I do?
Right. So
maybe I just air dry. Maybe I just walk around with wet hands. Do I do that? Maybe I wipe them on my shorts.
When I initially read the description that had paper towel versus air dryer, I thought, oh, it must be like a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like where you're debating two sides of an issue that are kind of nonsensical. A Seinfeld, if you will.
That's kind of what I thought,
too. And to hear it's on that level of, well, you don't know what's going through the tree's brain as it's cut down. That is terrifying to even think about. So I'm going to go back and say paper towels because I'm lazy and it's faster, period.
That being said, I really enjoyed it. And I think I subscribed us to his podcast, so you'll probably get notifications.
That's good. I'm going to have to take a listen to that more because that is definitely unique.
I also listened to another podcast the same day, and it had been out for a while. I think it had come out in like April or May. It was, I think it was a Vice podcast from, you remember when that news broke probably 3 or 4 months ago, like I said, April or May, about the guy that was going to be patient zero for the head transplant.
Oh yeah.
Well, some guy from Vice did, I think he was from Vice. I'll track it down. I'll try and put it in the description so you can listen to it. But he, this guy tracked down the patient. He tracked down the doctor who's going to do the surgery. And he also tracked down a guy who thinks that the doctor is going to do the surgery is a complete quack.
Oh my God.
Like, there's no chance this is going to happen. So it's because that schedule, the surgery is scheduled for, if you're not familiar with it, this guy has some kind of degenerative, God, that is a difficult word to say, degenerative disease where he is losing, like, his mind, perfectly fine, but his body is just saying F you, and he's basically like a prisoner in his own body.
Oh.
So this doctor believes that he has the technology to do a head transplant.
Oh, no.
So they basically need to find a person who is brain dead, who's willing to donate their body. And then they have the guy who is like body dead, and he's going to donate his head. And this guy says that over the course of like a 36-hour surgery with a couple of hundred surgeons and doctors and everyone, they'll be able to take his head off and pop it on another body.
Oh, for crying. Nope. Nope.
So listening to the patient, it was kind of inspiring because this guy's like, he's like, well, what else am I going to do? I'm going to be dead in a couple of years anyway because I'm going to be a prisoner in my own body. So I may as well essentially donate his body to science. And if it works, hell yeah, this is great. Then the doctor, you listen to him and you're convinced. You're like, well, this guy knows what he's doing. Why are we waiting another 2 years to do this or a year and a half to do this? Then they get to the guy who, I don't know what degrees he holds, but he is some kind of, doctor with extensive degrees and knows all about everything. And he brings up the very good point of, because the main issue with this whole thing is you're cutting off someone's head, obviously. You're severing the spinal cord.
Sure.
And reattaching it on a new body where the body may reject the head may reject the body.
You hear that happen with organs pretty routinely. They have to take medications just to have it accept it.
And they said, even if this works, even if this guy defies science and everything that we know, the patient could just go insane because there will be these massive chemical imbalances and the body is fighting the head because it's a foreign object, essentially.
Oh,
but then
man.
He brings up the very good point. The guy, he says, I wish I had all the names in front of me, but I had forgotten that I had listened to it until we started talking about this. But he said, if you, like, there's never been a time, they haven't been able to repair a spinal cord.
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's what I was thinking when you initially told me about that. If they can't cure massive spinal injuries, how can they rectify this divide, of severing one and just plopping it on another?
Well, this doctor also says that the patient will be walking within a year after the surgery.
I'm on the other side now. I think the guy's a quack. Yeah.
So that's exactly what the guy said, the one who was giving the counterpoint. He's like, okay, great. You say that you can do this. Well, do it then. Let's see you do this on patients who have spinal injuries, who are in wheelchairs, who are paraplegics, quadriplegics.
Right. Yeah.
Let's see you repair their spinal cords because you say that you can do it.
Yeah, let's start there before just getting the old hacksaw out.
Yeah, just slice right through.
Getting the head off and then trying it on somewhere else.
Put a little Bondo on it.
Yeah, have we tried this in rats yet or monkeys, whatever, something that's possible?
The only thing I was disappointed about, because it was still a really fascinating interview. He interviewed all three of them. I just wish he had done it in a different order. I wish he had talked to the guy who says, no way this is possible, first, because he would have gotten a lot of questions from that interview to then ask the doctor who's going to do the surgery. But he talked to the patient first, the guy doing the surgery second, and then the guy who says it's not possible third.
Which is probably the best way to frame it, because then you get the people who are listening the wonderment of, oh, that could happen, until the down-to-earth doctor comes in and says, you're all crazy.
Right.
You need to realize he's literally just murdering somebody here.
That, and they said that the surgery is going to cost like $100
million. Oh, I don't doubt that.
$100 million, and there is no first world country is going to say, do it here.
Right.
So there, it's going to be in some backwoods.
Yeah, it's going to be in a warehouse out of Argentina.
That's the most sterile place for surgeries.
Would you do it?
The most important surgery
ever.
Yeah, exactly. This would, essentially it's going to be the most expensive murder. I guess not murder because there's not intent, but.
Would you do it? Let's say your body's going out on you and would you give it a try? Let's say your last 3 months of life, you just, instead of waiting those out, here's my defined date. We're going to go into surgery. Try this.
I just turned 35 a couple months ago. If a doctor said to me today, Starting tomorrow, you're going to start losing all of your muscle control. Within 6 months, you're just going to be, you'll be completely immobile, and you'll be dead this time next year. I think I would have to be at the point where I had no more control,
right?
And yeah. I couldn't move. And
I agree.
At that point, I would say, okay, now I know. Because with all my luck, I'd say, yeah, let's do the surgery today, and then they'd chop my head off. I'd die, and then they'd say, oh, he just had a flu,
right? Like, oh, can you guys believe this? Yeah. It's just a different strain of a.
He had the flu. No big deal.
He had the shakes. Something's going on.
I don't know. I think, I would have to know that I only had a few months left.
See, I look at it as you have that option, which in my money, 98%, you're dead anyway. Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, I mean, you're not going to get out of surgery.
Or
you'll be dead.
Sure.
You'll be dead on the table.
Yep. Or you take whatever magic pills are legal in Oregon and wherever else, donate your organs, save 6 other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is a better option, which, don't get me wrong, I'm not even an organ donor. I talked to my wife about this. I'm so selfish.
Yeah.
I actually want my organs buried with me. I've got a real, real weird phobia about somebody I know seeing somebody walking down the streets with my eyes.
Oh, man.
Something weird like that. And yeah. I'm not saying like my eyes are very distinguishing, but just like say if...
No, but what if like a pedophile gets them and then right? you got pedo eyes?
Well, what?
You're the donor for pedo eyes.
Exactly. Or, I mean, just the weird realization like this, if it's this crazy person just happened to get a new set of eyes, you know, mm-hmm. and he's got the wild eyes look, but it's me, you know, so... I don't, bury me with it.
Yeah.
Put me in a box where my fluids won't leak out.
See, I don't think I want to be buried at all. Cremate me. I guess I watched one too many movies when I was a kid about like there was a movie called Buried Alive.
Sure.
And I'm like, F that. So I would rather just be burned. That way, I'm dead. Like, yeah. I'm not surviving that.
Well, even if you do realize it, that you are alive. It'll go quick enough.
Yeah,
you won't suffocate. You'll just burn.
Yeah.
Oh, this is happy talk.
Oh, this is great.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, it's the Steve and Kyle podcast back for another week. And
still not 100%.
No, it doesn't sound like
I'm fighting it. And it seems like whenever I get just a stupid cold, which is all this is, not out of commission by any means, but it's been, so we're at day 10 now. To where something with my nose, mouth, cough, head has been up until today, and today's not great. I felt like my left ear's been in the ocean, mm-hmm. about 100 feet, just nice. Swimming away.
Yeah.
Can't pop it, just floating around.
It's all right. You don't need that?
No. Who would need proper hearing?
No.
So, and then the cough is still there, but I've got a stuffed up nose mixed with a running nose with a, just throw me in a home. You know what? Bring me out in like a month when I'm back to closer to 100%.
Well, we can't have our fans.
They can't miss out.
Yeah, we can't have them going months.
It didn't do it last week, but we recorded last week, which was about day 3 of me feeling not well.
Yeah.
And my wife happened to work until 11 that night. And so by the time she got home, the dogs settled down, and I finally got back to sleep. The dogs woke up at like 3:30 or 4. I felt like just garbage. I ended up calling in sick to work the next day anyway.
Nice.
But we got the podcast in.
That's right.
And I know what's important.
That's what really matters.
I know what's important.
Yeah.
But that didn't stop the train, Steve.
we got a full head of steam.
I am
chugging down the track.
So I just told you I'm not 100%, but that does not stop. My wife has wanted a fire pit. We've been doing a ton of outside work. Mm-hmm. Took down a couple big pine trees. And when I say took down, I mean we paid someone.
Right.
We
cut a check. Of course. Sometimes the most important tool.
Yep.
Is the checkbook.
Yep. So we got the trees taken down. It wasn't great. We ended up having a lot of roots right at ground level that were about the size of, you know,
the
a tire.
Yeah.
that weren't coming out. And so we ended up hiring a company to do some leveling work.
Yeah, because they don't, what they don't tell you when they cut the trees down is
take out what they can, yeah, and everything exactly. else
they,
stays.
They cut it. Oh, it's still a 2 foot tall stump. Yeah, well, that's what
bummer
that's what you get.
So we've been trying to grow grass back there because these two massive pine trees essentially prevented it. They shed needles. It was just dirt. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And we took out a big patio in the back. Whatever. We've just been doing a lot of stuff outside to the point where we needed to build a new fire pit. And we had a couple other projects I wanted to get outside. So Saturday came around, man, and it was apparently work day. And I got put to work. Me and my wife's stepdad,
yeah.
He came over with some lumber. And we built ourselves a nice trash can corral hide it on the side of the house.
I thought you were going to say that you built your fire pit out of wood.
Oh, God.
I was going to say...
with a nice wood chip barrier. It looks really nice.
Kyle's not the handiest guy. No.
And that's what I mean. I'm not handy. So we built this this garbage can corral. Turned out beautifully.
Nice.
His guidance, obviously, but straight and level. The boards are even straight. The poles are mm-hmm. level. It couldn't have turned out better for my morale.
Was it is it one of those things where maybe you don't need to go out in the yard? But every now and then you go out in the yard and you just kind of stand on the deck. Like, yeah, that's right.
Twice.
Looks pretty good out there.
Twice on Saturday, she goes.
Go ahead. Coming over today, bring a level. Go ahead. Throw a level on there.
Try it. Humor me. Twice I went out Saturday. Where'd you go? I was like, just wanted to go take a picture. I've got like three pictures of this stupid thing.
You're gonna you're gonna throw this on your Pinterest or something?
Yeah, right. This is gonna be on the DIY whatever website. Yeah. I'm sure.
No, that you gotta tweet that and hashtag DIY win.
Oh yeah,
to do DIY win, but then when you screw something up, you have to do DIY hashtag DIY fail.
Didn't hit the fail either because we went on to project number two, Steve.
Well, you got the momentum now,
and that was fire pit.
Nice.
And that just isn't fun. Dig a hole, and we got bricks with some mortar to caulk it together. Yeah. First try.
Whoa.
Nailed it.
So you go round, you go rectangular.
We went round.
Okay.
We had a ring. That it still looks weird because the ring was like brand new, so it's still just shiny silver in the backyard. Surprised a bird hasn't been distracted by it yet. But
first fire. After that,
it'll char.
You light one fire. It'll turn black. It rains once. It'll rust.
Yep. I've got to burn a bunch of stuff now because the fire pit is functional. 2 for 2 on weekend home improvement with me and my wife. And that is like a first time. There are so many little stupid projects that I'm putting off.
Isn't it crazy, though, how your confidence is through the roof now?
Oh, yeah.
And you're looking at your house. You're like, you know, I think we could put... I could put an addition on the back of this plate.
Why don't we
bump the roof up a couple feet?
Yeah.
We'll stick a little attic up there, a little attic space. You know why stop there? We'll put a spiral staircase up there.
Chapel ceiling? No problem.
Some stained glass. It'll look nice.
What'd you say? You wanted an extra few feet in our bedroom? All right, I'll have it done by tomorrow. Knock out a wall.
That's one of the coolest things when that actually happens, when something goes so right and you're just like, well, I bought 3 times as much materials because I was sure I was going to screw it up at least twice. That proud feeling taking lumber back to the store.
Sure. Like,
didn't need this.
Yeah, it feels good. And don't get me wrong, I didn't do it by myself by any means.
Right.
I had a bunch of help doing it, but still, I am so DIY incompetent. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just prefer to hire it out unless it's something really just monotonous and cheap that I don't want to do. I mean, because I started digging out these roots by myself after the tree company left for about 90 minutes and realized it was never going to happen. It was a labyrinth of ridiculous under there. I got to the point where I thought about, let's just cement it in. Whole 20-foot area in that back corner. We're just going to throw some cement on top of it. I don't know what we're going to use it as, but we're going to have a walking patio in that corner for no other reason than that is insane underneath.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that they say that, like, if you stand back and look at a tree, like, and you look at how wide the branches are at the widest point of the tree.
Yeah.
Like, the root system supposedly goes twice as wide as that. So the neighbor, or the tree in your backyard probably goes like, the roots go two houses down.
Oh, I bet, yeah. And I know our fence is even bent a little bit because the root grew so close to the ground and so big and so wide that it just started bowing the fence out a little bit. Not for this guy.
Now, did you consider consider getting yourself some goats? Just so they could gnaw on them.
I wonder if that would have worked. In hindsight, I will never forgive myself.
Yeah, you had the same opportunity I did.
Not as much work, but this would have been a little more intensive. Mm-hmm. You know, a little more laser focused.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's nothing more exciting for me than the idea of next spring or fall, this fall rolling around and you realizing that these goats need to happen. Because I'm not kidding you. I'm posting up a chair and a cooler, and this is going to be my favorite event ever. I cannot wait.
Well, we'll do the goat cast that day from the backyard. Live goat cast.
We can do the goat Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll put it. I'll go out and I'll buy another one of these 99-cent microphones that we got. I'll strap one to the goat so we can really hear what's going on.
Ask the goat questions.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it's a goat, so it won't answer. But
see how fast we can chase the goat and catch it. So many ideas for these goats. I tell you what, I guess I didn't realize this about my wife. I don't know if you've been paying attention at all. The Olympics.
Yeah, not as much as I would have hoped. I thought I was going to watch a lot more, and I barely watched any.
It's been on, it seems like, every night. That's obviously, except for Monday nights when Raw is war.
Come on.
I mean, hit the skids. Raw, you know, get war. Downstairs, get in the bed, whatever you got to go. Just leave me be, okay? Yeah. I'm a man. Needs us 3 hours of sports entertainment tonight, okay?
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've been on at our house a lot. And
now, does she watch the good events, like the swimming and basketball, or is she watching, like, dressage?
Sure. There's been handball on in the house.
I think I would watch that.
It's okay. Yeah. It's not bad. We watched a little too much synchronized diving yesterday.
Oh, I was watching some of that, and I was talking to Annette about that, and we're watching it, and I'm like, there's no doubt that it's very impressive.
Oh, sure.
It's incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
But I just said to her, I was like, but what's the point? And I guess you could, I mean, if you break down any sport, you could say, well, what's the point? Oh, wow, you can throw a ball through a ring.
Yeah, good.
Who cares? But it just seems like there's literally nothing else you can do with your synchronized diving.
That's it.
Ability.
That is absolutely it. So, between that, what other garbage entertainment has been on in the Olympics that I haven't been paying attention to? I watched a little bit of basketball, but yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of swimming on.
Yeah.
The swimming, I don't mind. I enjoy watching it.
No, not at all. I like watching it.
I forgot
I like watching it so much that I haven't watched one bit of it.
Right, you just haven't caught up yet. You got it on the DVR, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
Did you see the pictures of Michael Phelps? That's what I meant to bring up.
Oh, the cupping?
The cupping thing, right? I've never tried it. I can't imagine how that helps.
Well, granted, I'm sure that I've never needed it. I don't think I've ever worked myself hard enough, like to a Michael Phelps level.
Is it for your muscles?
Yeah, I think what I saw it does is like they put a cup on it. They take a cup, like a hot cup.
Yeah,
I think it's glass, and they put it over the spot that is sore, and supposedly it basically gives you a hickey because it like pressurizes somehow and it pulls the blood to the surface, which relieves, I don't know. They said that there's really no proof that it actually works. So
I feel like we're one step away from this being banned.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that. I'm like, but I mean, I guess it's not. I mean, it's not medication. It's essentially like if you were going to get a massage.
Yeah, I guess it's the same thing. I mean, I've been tuning in for, and it's kind of like why a lot of people tune in to NASCAR, waiting for the disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I know there is a bicyclist who just took a huge header.
How does that woman still have a head?
It's unbelievable.
To her? Speaking of head transplants.
Oh, God, right?
Yeah.
That was nasty. But then there was one, I believe, yesterday or today where for years now, NBC has utilized the, for water polo, the water camera,
mm-hmm.
which I don't get.
Yeah.
I mean, I I guess it shows like, oh, this is what water polo is, punching out, whatever.
Right.
But they show it with the women. They did this 4 years ago and the same thing happened. They're showing live television. And next thing you know, you see women's boobs.
Yeah.
Because it's underwater and they're ripping at each other, pulling at each sure. other. And how do you not understand that this is a risk now when you continue to go to the stupid underwater camera? That's you madness.
Know, you know something? This is going to sound crazy. I have a water polo contact who's at the Olympics right now.
Are you kidding
covering
me?
Covering water polo. He works for the U.S. water polo team, association, I don't know. But he
seems
does
like a government lobby.
It's a guy that I went to college with, and he does play-by-play. And like every now and then I'll see him. I don't have cable anymore, but when I used to have cable, I'd see him. He'd post things like, oh, I'm calling the whatever versus whatever game tonight on ESPN The Ocho, and I'd turn it on. I'm
That's
like,
so cool.
Well, sure enough, there's my buddy Greg from college.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get an Olympic guest on the phone for next week.
We need to now, because I need to know what's going on underneath the water that nobody else will know about.
Yeah, like he could maybe do like a 10-minute water polo for dummies. Like we each come up with all of our water polo questions.
Right, yeah.
And we ask them because, I mean, I'm sure that we'll come up with the best questions. You know, it won't be about like the X's and O's. We'll be like, so like the ball, when they throw, can you like throw it at someone's head?
Speaking of ball, don't those things squeeze you down there? I mean, those things look uncomfortable, right?
So maybe if we can figure out the technical aspect of that, that would be fun to have a guest on calling in live from Brazil.
I feel like. We'll talk about it off air, but Google has a lot of solutions.
Okay.
That we can make this work.
I feel like just getting them on the phone, plugging the phone into there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how it'll go from here back into that. You know, we're going to figure this out.
We're going to try some inputs, some outputs, some real technical stuff.
If I have to crack open the wallet, go back to Amazon Prime and see if we can upgrade the studios. It's something I'm willing to do. By the way, somebody, I don't know if you saw that, somebody tweeted, they tweeted like at us and at Amazon Prime with a link to Amazon for a cough button for you for last week.
That would be a dream right now.
Yeah.
I have so many nasal issues happening in my head right now. Yep. It's ridiculous. It's almost a must. But I brought up the Olympics, Steve.
Yeah.
Because I wanted it. I had this ready for last week. We got sidetracked.
Oh, yeah.
I need to get into
my beef
with Hope Solo. I'm blocked by an Olympian. Right?
Oh, I actually have, I have 2 degrees of separation from perhaps the most popular Olympian on the U.S. women's soccer team.
Who is that?
That would be Carly Lloyd.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
My dad was her 8th grade math teacher.
How about that?
Yeah. She grew up in the town right next to me.
Huh.
And my dad was a math teacher there.
Wonder if she was already getting favors because she was Miss Athlete.
He said she was, even in 8th grade, you could tell that she was an excellent athlete and she was going to, she was going to be good.
That's so cool to find that out like down the road, you know, for him and for, you know. Yeah, that happened. I had a brush with.
Yeah. I think he said he's had 2 or 3 Olympians in school. I mean, he taught for 42 years, I think. So
you're bound to run into a few, right?
Yeah.
Golden eggs in the rough.
But let's hear about your run-in with greatness.
So
this is Hope Solo, the goalie.
The goalie.
For the women's soccer.
Also, I believe, accused DUI.
Yeah. Didn't she beat up like her nephew?
Oh, yeah.
She beat up her nephew, so.
So to get these, because I remember I'm blocked by her now.
Yeah.
I had to log out of my Twitter, go to my Twitter, and then scroll for more than 2 years of tweets and whatever else to find these. So
there is an easier way to do that.
How's that?
If you go to Twitter's advanced search, you type in the 2 usernames, and it'll show you all interactions between them.
Well, I could find my interactions, but when I went to see the initial tweet of hers that I replied to, It wouldn't show up. And I needed context for everybody.
Right.
For you and for all the listeners.
Right, exactly. You don't want it to look like you're just hurling insults blindly. I mean, these were justified, I'm sure. I'm sure that you had great reasons for trolling this woman who's extremely successful, probably a little bit troubled.
Yeah, definitely troubled.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It was just a day in June that it started. June 26, 2014, and this carries on until October, so I have 15 tweets that I sent to Hope Solo before she finally gave up.
When you first talked about this, I figured there were two, three, maybe, because the key is... Over a few months span.
The key is, if you want to do this right, you've got to catch a celebrity literally right when they tweet it out, so you can be one of the first few replies.
Yeah.
That if they look later at their tweet, you're right there, you're on the forefront.
Yes.
So I think part of it is I didn't get lucky until, you know, D-Day.
Did you have a notification set
up? No. Not that far. It would just be if I was scrolling through and I'd see a tweet of hers, I'd respond.
So you followed her.
Correct. Yeah, I was a fan.
Okay.
I mean, until she went off the rails, I drove to Detroit. This was 6 years ago at this point to watch a U.S. women's exhibition soccer match before the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed her until she went totally cuckoo, married one of the worst guys on the planet, all this business with her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So June 26, 2014, She posts a picture of her and, I don't know, looks like her husband, two other random people with a flag, and I think this was during the Men's World Cup.
Okay.
Said, USA, USA, USA. And
what, I mean, what a right? Like a mundane tweet.
It
just
is.
Like,
yep.
It is exactly what it sure is.
And I said, which one is your punching bag? This was after the...
Okay.
You know, she, I believe, attacked her nephew or something.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely have context because I want to see...
I need to see...
Just mundane, like, go USA.
Yep.
Follow that up
with...
Actually, waited a month. July 28th. What a one-of-a-kind birthday celebration. Of all the games, I've never had a party in the stands. My family is so thoughtful.
Okay, so her family came to see her play.
For her birthday, I'm guessing. Which she plays for the Seattle women's MLS team. And I asked, are those the ones you punched and screamed at like a crazed Sasquatch?
Wow. Okay.
The reports of her arrest... were not very pleasant.
No, not at all.
Nephew locked in a bathroom, and she was like wild, like I'm gonna kill him for whatever reason was going on.
Yeah, this wasn't like Hope had one too many drinks, and you know they were pulling hair at the bar.
No, and these are things too that I mean they never got noticed by anybody. I mean, a few of my friends who follow me on Twitter would see these and like them or whatever, but it was never like. Where it got, you know, attention, like 40 retweets, whatever.
Yeah, you were never part of a BuzzFeed article.
No. Right? And I, in hindsight, I feel a little bit bad. There were a few, like, women soccer fans or Hope Solo super fans who were, hey, stop being mean. And so I'd send them a link to a news article.
You've made mistakes too, I'm sure.
So I'd send him a link to a news article. Like, is this who you're defending? Like,
well, I mean, you just need to make sure the public is aware.
I needed their heroes to be brought down to nothing. So that I mean, I waited a month, Steve.
That was very generous.
And then I don't know why it hit me then.
That service.
I don't know why it hit me then that I needed to continue this onslaught. But a similar thing. USA won a match in August. USA, USA. And I'll bleep myself, Steve, to save
her.
Does this mean your loved ones or anybody nearby gets the night off from getting the bleep kicked out of them by you? I can't get over the fact that she just mauled or tried to maul her teenage nephew for something.
Yeah.
Oh. So that was another 3 weeks, and then... Hope Solo is all smiles at U.S. soccer training today. A lot to be happy about. What a funny picture. And the picture never opened. They deleted it by the time I had found these.
Yeah.
And I said, did you just punch someone? Like a family member or something?
Yeah.
This is August.
I notice a theme developing. Each one of them seems to be about
the theme changes.
Yeah.
What a game last night. How much fun. What do you say we do it again next week? See you Sunday. And it's just a picture of her in front of the stands after her game. And I asked, why is everyone gone? Did you physically attack all of them? You know, because of the...
Right,
the thing.
Right, because of the... Yeah, the thing. The incident.
And then she must have gone to her garden. This is the end of August now. This morning's harvest. And I asked, how many family members did you have to punch to get all those?
Come on. Now you're... At least with the other ones, there were actually people in the pictures, or she was surrounded by family.
This is literally picking from a garden.
Yeah, you turn to her picking what are they? A
couple cherry tomatoes?
Yeah, cherry tomatoes into her punching family members.
And then there was
she had you, like, this was a long leash she was
right,
getting.
Yeah, and I think at this point it was still infrequent enough that, like I said, it wasn't even on the radar. Uh-huh. So it never registered. One of her with some women on a golf cart, not a bad day of training, I'm assuming, with her Seattle teammates.
Yeah.
And I said, which one of them did you beat the bleep out of?
Now, Kyle, that's that's unfair.
Sorry.
Because I don't think that she fought any of her teammates.
That's true. At that point, I probably didn't know that, Steve.
That's terrible.
That's probably, you know what? I'll send her an apology.
Yeah, very unfair.
I'm going to send her a note. I feel bad.
Yeah, maybe you should create a new Twitter just so you can apologize and ask that this Twitter be unblocked.
Yeah, and I'll title it. My Twitter handle will be I'm Sorry Hope Solo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the end of August. So now we change a month.
Oh, we're not done here?
So this is August 27th all the way to September 21.
Okay. Okay?
And a lot happened in that for 3.5 weeks. This is when the fappening happened.
Oh, yes.
Which we talked about, that rampant serial butthole photographer.
Yeah. I forgot about that guy. Was Hope Solo part of the fappening?
She was Miss Butthole.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. She's like the star of the show.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So my aim changed. And we talked about this.
Yeah, because I was so caught up in the Verlander.
Yeah, Kate Upton.
Yeah, Kate Upton.
And now we talked about this. I'm not I don't want this to come off as me shaming women for whatever. This is literally me making fun of her for these photos. Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to take nude photographs, please go ahead. You deserve all the privacy that you actually deserve.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say that.
The fact that people were hacked into, it's not like one of those instances, like who was it that earlier last week who tweeted out a picture or posted a D-pic on Snapchat or Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Basketball player, Draymond Green. Yeah.
It's not like the people that were hacked. They were hacked.
Sure.
They do not deserve any of
this.
Yes,
it's on the record, right?
It is awful that it happened.
Yep, absolutely. But that doesn't change the direction of my of my attacks.
Yeah.
Wow, what a game, Seahawks. And so I just asked, on a scale of 1 to 10, how clean is your b-hole today?
Well, I mean, it's very related to the question. Or it's very related to her original.
And at this point, I mean, it's got to start. Okay. Like, she's probably, maybe she saw this one. All right.
You
that's
know.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's
you know?
Just silly.
Follow that up 2 days later, where she actually made a comment. This is where it took her a while to actually make a statement about the photos and everything. Mm. And then it's extremely sad and unfortunate that the rights of so many women were violated, .. So it would go to a Facebook post.
Again. Completely agree
True.
With that post.
Is this in reference to your butthole being all over the internet?
Well, I mean, that's a valid question. I mean, you know, you need to clarify.
It's very valid.
Yeah,
I don't blame her at all.
There should have been a hashtag the fappening.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't have had to ask that question.
Nope. It would have saved everybody. Followed that up 2 days later. How she was looking forward to signing photographs and meeting fans. Lots of amazing athletes will be there. Buy tickets here. Will you sign a picture of your butthole if I bring it? Now, this is the one where I think I got in early enough because I had four random people like it. You know? Still didn't do it. Still didn't do it. A lot of good Champions League games on today. So European soccer. Which are you watching? Now this one doesn't even. This is the most. This is one of the dumbest ones.
Does it just say butthole, butthole, butthole?
Does one of them use your butthole as its logo? That one. Best wishes to Landon Donovan and his send-off. So he's retiring. Thanks for inspiring a generation and helping to grow this beautiful game. Very nice sentiment towards Landon Donovan. Ad Hope Solo. Plus, he didn't show his butthole to the world or beat the living bleep out of family members like an untamed Yeti.
Oh, we're
There's
it,
that.
We're bringing it full circle. We're bringing it back.
Right? Bring those signs tomorrow, Casey. This is now. This is it. It's this series of tweets that gets me blocked because I think I did 3-1 tweet, and this was what the straw that broke the camel's
back. Nail in the coffin, right here.
Bring those signs tomorrow, Casey. Get creative and get rowdy. Oh, we'll have something awesome for the best one.
Did you win?
I must have. I'm still waiting for my gift.
Yeah.
Is this a trick so you can show me a picture of your butthole? Followed up with, is your gift a bleep whooping with crazy in your eyes? And then this is it. This is the one that finally she says, you know what? Enough is absolutely enough.
Yep.
What do you think of people referring to their Hope Solo when talking about their butthole? Is that embarrassing?
So that did it.
So that's... That is...
That's your relationship.
It's absolutely a Twitter trolling.
Yeah, that's your relationship with Hope Solo.
Yeah, so we're pretty much friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would think her and I are internet friends. And during the... My investigation of this, Steve, I did find what got me blocked by Peter King, Sports Illustrated.
Oh, yeah, writer. I remember you talking about that.
He, this was back during the Ferguson, Missouri.
Oh, okay.
Like riots, essentially.
Mm. I was like when people from the sports world comment on
current
events, it's never in any way.
It's timely, relevant.
Yeah.
But what happened here was, this is two pretty vague. It's not even a tie-in. So when Robin Williams passed away, Peter King caught some heat. He said he wrote some long-winded tweet about, I was at a Starbucks today and asked the barista, hear about Robin Williams? Said no. Said, he died. And I just looked at the life drain out of his eyes. Like something to that degree, like Peter King, like...
Right.
Most insensitive, weird newsbreaker of all. Like,
right.
It was just very weird the way he did it.
Yeah.
Well, this one, he said, thinking of you tonight, Wesley Lowery, which I remember was a journalist who got jailed during when all the stuff was going down with, you know, tear gas, all this in Ferguson, Missouri. Full support from all who know and support you. And I said, does he know Robin Williams died? Is there any way you could break the news?
So...
Which actually was more relevant at that point, because I believe Robin Williams had died relatively recently. But he didn't appreciate me closing that circle.
No.
And really tying them together.
Hey, put a nice little bow on top.
That's what ended my Twitter relationship
so
with Peter King.
So just one tweet, huh?
No. I communicated a few times. I'd followed him for a while, and I tweeted on just random stuff. Yeah. But we had never communicated before.
Right. You weren't buds like you and Hope Solo.
Nope. Never quite had that level of camaraderie.
Yeah.
I do remember me. I had definitely was very mean to Peter King beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Based on one of the times the guys had gone to the Super Bowl from the radio show.
Yeah.
And Joe kindly went over and said, hey, would you mind being on whatever, our show next or whatever.
Oh, didn't he say like F no or something?
He said, no. And he goes, well, how about tomorrow, which would have been at that point, or Monday, something like that, the day after the Super Bowl. What? F no! And he walked away. Yeah. So that always turned me off from the guy. Plus, he'd always been a little bit social ignorant on social media. Like I said, the Robin Williams thing is probably the biggest... thing that he made, you know, ripples for about being so ridiculous. But yeah, that's my Hope Solo banning story. So, I mean, I told you about the Lions players I've been banned by, the director of NASA.
Director.
Which I don't have that direct story. I don't even know where that is. Yeah. I don't even know where that thing's lost in space as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe one day. Maybe on the 100th episode or something, a couple years from now.
That story's out there like George Clooney's character from Gravity. Yeah, just floating around. Picked up by a loose space station somehow.
So I have to thank you for doing us a big favor over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We were...
Huge inconvenience.
Yeah, well, we were in Indianapolis for the weekend. We spent some time there and saw a bunch of Annette's family. And so we have the dog who stays at someone's house.
Yep.
A couple minutes from here. She dog sits, and she's great, and Lola loves going over there. So it's great. We go over, drop her off there and pay, and she stays there for the weekend. And
yeah, it's perfect.
Gets all the attention she needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the cats who... I don't know. I've never had cats before, so I didn't have any basis. I'm like, how long can cats... Because I've always gotten the impression that cats will do perfectly fine whether you're there or not.
Right.
They don't care about you. They're not affectionate.
It's all very true.
Well, these cats are fairly affectionate, although I do have a beef with them that's been going on since last week. Turn around. See that chair over there? That nice...
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh boy.
Nice new leather chair. Notice how it kind of looks like Braille on the top of it.
It's got some marks.
It's got some claw marks. Well, I was sitting here doing work and I hear that, like, if you have cats, you know that sound. It's that sound of claws digging into fabric or some kind of, you know, leather surface and the like the ripping.
Mm.
I lost it on these cats, and so I've been pretty pissed about them.
I don't blame you.
So needless to say, I wasn't really leading the charge on what are we going to do about the cats this weekend, because I'm like, I don't care those things.
Maybe I'll leave a door open. That's what
yeah,
I'll do.
Yeah, exactly.
Solve this problem once and for all.
Those cats can starve for all I care, which is terrible, because I do like the cats, and they are, I have warmed up to them a lot. I do like them. And but I was, I think, understandably, pretty pissed about that. I bought that chair a month ago. I think I've sat in it 4 times.
Right.
And now it has cat marks in it. So I'm not too pleased with that. So the cats would probably be okay for... We were going to be gone probably just over 48 hours.
Yeah.
We've left them before. You just fill the bowls a lot. Yeah. You know, you make sure their litter boxes are empty.
They'd have been fine.
Yeah. But make sure the litter boxes are empty. When we leave them a lot of water, they'll be perfectly fine. But we figure if we can find somebody who will stop over and just throw some food at them, even better. So I had sent you a text on Thursday saying, hey, would you be able to stop over at the house on Saturday? Sometime Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And just give these cats some food and let them see a human. Not like they care, because they're cats.
Right.
And again, they will survive long after
humans.
Oh,
good, another victim.
Yeah, long after what they humans look at. Are gone. So on Saturday, Annette said to me, she's like, oh, can you text Kyle to see if he stopped over to see the cats?
And I didn't mean to text you to say, hey, everything's good. But like I said, it's a little bit busy.
Right.
You know, glistening in the sun.
So I gave her your number. I said, here, you text him. So she says, hey, yo, forget about it. How's my cats? Signed, DeBroad.
Which is how she's affectionately referred to.
Right. Yeah. On this here podcast.
Right.
And your response cracked us both up, because you said, they were good, alive and looking exactly like Satan's children. It's this line, though. They were slowly licking up their scoops of cat meat, death, and staring forlornly into the distance when I left. So, you know, normal cat stuff.
Yep. So, I mean, all's well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I particularly enjoy the terms cat meat.
We scooped it out. It's like, oh, looks great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It smells great, right? Oh, smells awful.
Yeah, I mean, I could have just sent you a thumbs up emoji.
Yeah.
Wanted to give the full status report on how the cats were doing.
Yeah.
Barely made it through the door, and I saw those green devil eyes
mm-hmm.
staring through.
Yep.
thought, oh boy, I'm on enemy territory now.
Now, when you started scooping out the cat meat, did the one cat start meowing like crazy?
I don't think so. I filled up the bowl and just switched out the water, and Katie was doing the death meat. Right. And I don't remember anything. Oh, yeah. I mean, to their credit, I know I make jokes, but they are both very friendly. Neither outside of chewing your leather chair.
Right. Oh.
For
that 1 minute or 2 minutes, I had actually forgotten about that, and you saying it made me mad again in that instant.
It's so easy. I mean, they do animals just in general, man. I mean, I had a picture on my phone from, this is before we even had two dogs, I think, about our phone charger collection that our a-hole wiener dog decided to just gnaw through.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
Never chewed chairs.
You don't need these.
Never chewed, you know, furniture, anything else. But for whatever reason, he would go on my wife's side of the bed and chew her phone cord like four times until it got to the point, I'm just going to have to like put it in a drawer at this point. I thought that was bad until our new dog came around, and when we would be in the process of essentially switching sheets, if they'd be in the washer or dryer and we wouldn't have sheets on the bed, she would decide to go in the room when we were gone and chew up our memory foam mattress topper.
Yeah, those aren't expensive.
Happened once. Incredibly frustrating. Guess who the idiot is who allowed it to happen twice? It's those few minutes where I think that's where you truly can realize the rage potential in your own body. Because when an animal does that, I don't know that I've ever been as mad.
I know. And
you can almost like visualize the punishment you want to wreak, you want to rain down on them.
And that's what scares me. I think that's what scares me the most about having kids one day.
Right.
I'm like, because one day that's going to be a child that grabs onto a pair of scissors and stabs the furniture, or, you know, takes markers and draws
colors
on the wall.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm built
right
where I can just say, it's okay.
Yep. We're going to be fine.
Yeah. It's just a chair.
Another gallon of that specialty paint.
It's just a chair. Grant, I mean, it's just my favorite chair.
Yeah, it's the one I sit in every night.
No big deal.
Hand me down, you know, gift for my family. But
don't care about this.
Go take a walk while I visualize punting this child.
Yeah, but this child is a miracle.
Yeah, look at this.
This child's a gift from God.
Look at that. It's pooping on the floor.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no big deal.
Because I question the same thing because the second I've visualized myself grabbing one of my dogs by the back of the neck, you know, where they, you know, so I guess it's not that bad because isn't that where most
people say that they grab them by the scruff.
Yeah. But in my mind, I'm like, oh God, you know, I don't even know what I do.
Yeah.
But that scares me. That particular, like, oh my God.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to punch my dog in the face? Am I going to, you know, kick the cat? No, I'm not going to do that because I'll feel terrible. And, like, I don't want to do that.
Like, 3 seconds later, I'm going to feel awful if I do anything rash and stupid. Yep. So,
dude, that's how, like, that's why it doesn't, like, when I start to feel like that, that's not that I would ever get to, you know, the crazy level that some people go. But, like, you can understand how people snap and how people make terrible mistakes. You know, like road rage mistakes or something, just in that, like, that burst of adrenaline, that 2 seconds where your blood pressure is so high and, like, your, you know, veins are popping out of your head because somebody, like, cut you off or whatever. And you're like, and then you step back from it 2 seconds later and you're like, God, that, like, that's how it happens. That's how people flip.
It sure is. Yeah.
That's how people just go off.
I wonder if it's different now just because, I don't know. Of course, it's a different world, but you don't hear about the 1960s guy getting shot because he cut off somebody on the highway.
Right.
Like, are we just devolving as humans?
No, they're just turning into mass shootings.
Oof. Well, that got deep.
So, cats, huh?
Right. Luckily for me, I'm at the point now where a lot of my frustration comes from, whatever, dog barking, whatever. So, if the dog's outside, our older dog, who's older, he's a year and a half, will know that I'm mad. And I'll say, no barking. And I'll stare at him, and he'll sit down, and he'll look at me, and it's like, yeah, you know, you're not going to do anything. So then he'll turn around.
Both thumbs point into yourself, right? And you say, alpha dog.
Yeah. Like, I puff out a little bit, like, oh, you want to do this? You know?
We're going to go?
He'll start barking again. I'll make a big show of, like, stomping down the stairs so he can hear me.
Right.
Doesn't faze him. He thinks it's a game. So I'll spend 10 minutes looking like a total idiot.
Right.
Doing laps around my backyard chasing this weenie dog who thinks it's a game. Until he finally realizes, well, I'm a little bit tired. He's probably cooled down now.
I guess I'll lay down.
And so I'll catch up to him. And then all of a sudden he'll stop. He'll kind of thunk down on one side, roll on his back, and then his whole butt will wag. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to pick you up now. Because now that's way too adorable to hit.
Now I'm still mad, but...
God, that's just adorable. I'll bring you right inside, buddy.
Let me take a picture.
Yeah, it's infuriating. And then it goes away so fast. And maybe I just need that. Whew, I'm going to let him bark for another 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to hear it. And then I'm going to go outside and handle this so my rage isn't so totally consuming.
Mm-hmm.
God. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Get it all. Yeah,
Can you hear the wheeze? Like when I breathe sometimes, yeah. Sounds like another. Yeah, it's like another human's in there trying to escape. Like I breathe, and then like a long lost twin, like help me,
give me a breath,
and then I suppress it, and then I cough it, so he stays down. That's the key. Well, what are we at time wise? Because I had one thing that I just wanted to mention.
1 hour, 12 seconds.
Oh. This will be perfect, okay? Just a wrap up. I mentioned this to you last week. We just didn't have time to get to it. That I saw something at our local mall.
Oh yeah,
that was one of the most offensively dumb and gross things I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I frequent the movie theater. I'm a huge movie fan. So we were going to this movie on a Sunday. I like to go Sunday evenings. Not as busy. It's right. Kind of the wind down of the weekend. We're walking in the mall, going to see Jason Bourne. Now, you're familiar enough with the layout of the mall. For everybody who doesn't, there's steps down. There's two sides to the mall. You can take steps down from the movie theater to the main parking underneath.
Food court in the center.
Yep. Or you can take the long walk where the only place you go past is TGI Fridays for a restaurant purpose or a bar purpose. And that's important to mention here. So they're walking out. There's a group of people as we're walking in who are walking out from the movie theater side. Mm-hmm. And they're going down the steps. So for my money, they're leaving the movie theater.
Right.
And there's three people, three guys, and two of them have their friend in between them. Like a wounded soldier.
Like arms over the shoulders.
What's the age?
What are we?
I would guess early to mid-20s.
Okay.
And again, I don't know where they could have come from other than the movie theater unless they decided to take this long walk around. Maybe. I don't know. Right. Maybe they're there after the mall has technically closed on Sundays to do this. What I see next is this dude in the middle, just his head's like slumped forward.
Oh, so you're thinking drunk.
At first, I didn't know. Right. But it didn't take long to realize when the long trail of brown ooze started coming out of his mouth.
Oh. Did you say you're still outside so you haven't...
We're inside the mall. Okay, they're on the steps going down.
Oh, well, I know exactly where you're talking about. Yeah.
And so like, oh, no. Oh, so I turn away. A few seconds later, he's not done. Again. I didn't see... Oh, I know. I gagged.
Yeah.
And I should have stuck around because there was a poor cleaning lady who I know was going to get saddled with that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see if these three bros, two bros and one non-functioning bro,
right,
were going to have the wherewithal to like...
Oh, no.
What, or if clean they it just up? Walked away and decided... Ah!
Yeah, what are they going to do? Go over to like the Burger King and get empty out all the napkin dispensers.
Man, that just reminds me of the only time I've been that bad in public, and it was on my 21st birthday.
Yeah.
But like I said, the reason this guy doesn't make sense, he wasn't walking from a bar. So was he drinking out of a flask in the movie theater?
Yeah, maybe.
Or, I mean, yeah, to get there's that, nothing, that, nothing there's on that nothing side, else. Right? It didn't make sense. I couldn't rectify it in my head. But I can't judge the guy too harshly because, like I said, kind of reminds me of my 21st birthday.
Right. But he's not you. Whoa.
That's a good point.
Oh, got an email right
okay,
there.
Okay, good.
Just in case you didn't hear that.
He's in, I mean, I don't know. Because on my 21st birthday, I mean, it was not even that late. It was like a Thursday or a Friday night. And I had a couple friends there over at a bar. You and I frequented many times. You chose and stand in.
Oh, yeah. And that's we've done many, like upwards of two of our Periscopes from there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've done many fist appearances at that place.
I saw that you also sent me a text. I felt bad. I never replied. I had totally forgotten that you had sent that text until earlier today. The text, they had free pizza puffs on what, Saturday and
just
Sunday.
Just an abomination.
For those listening, Kyle has he has the most hatred towards an inanimate object that I've ever seen for these things at this one restaurant near us. I'm sure this is a common thing at many restaurants. This is an Italian restaurant, but it's also a bar, so that Italian food, but then also the typical bar food, burgers and sliders and you know, chicken fingers. And one of their appetizers is, it's called pizza puffs. And all it is it's dough that is puffed up a bit, and then they serve it to you on a tray. And they have the little dipping cheese and the little, the dipping marinara sauce.
It's an affront to food. It's offensive for everything that it causes and costs. It's disrespectful to actual pizza. Like it's an elephant ear puffed up by a bike pump. It's so terrible. And then they go to like the local gas station and pour you a cup of their nacho cheese.
Then, yeah, from the little dispenser.
Some marinara and other garbage. Throw it on a plate with no powdered sugar even.
No.
And they call it pizza.
Well, you can't put powdered sugar on it. I mean,
well, because they call it pizza even though it's in a glorified elephant ear.
Silly. In fact, I'm kind of craving them right about now.
Oh, you're a monster.
I think we should do I'm not here this weekend, but maybe next weekend we'll do a Uccello's trip.
Mm-hmm. We could do that.
Perhaps order up some of the puffs.
I'll refrain.
it's been a couple weeks since we've been there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that place. I like that place a lot. Despite you hating their pizza puffs with a passion that burns with the intensity of 1,000 suns.
Their drinks are fantastic.
They are.
Their appetizers are mostly great outside of the air-puffed dough, which is offensive.
I went there maybe a month ago. A friend of mine helped me. I was working on the Jeep, and he ended up helping me for like 6 hours. So we finished up working on the Jeep, and I was like, all right, let's go out and get a couple drinks, get some food. We were both starving. So we went to Uccello's, and it was, I think it's after
10.
It's either after 10 or after 11, where they're little pizzas, little like,
oh yeah, yeah.
I think
$2
it's a
9-inch
pie. Yeah. It's half price. Well, they're only like $5 to begin with or something.
It's such a good deal though.
And then their drafts were half price too. So we both had, I had mozzarella sticks as an appetizer, then a pizza. He had wings as an appetizer and a pizza.
Hit the restroom.
All right. Sir, you going to be all right?
No.
All right, so Kyle is not here anymore. He, as you heard there, he kind of this is a postmortem, by the way. This is after the events. He in the middle of us talking, he got a strange look on his face. He said he had to go. He left the room. He went into the bathroom next door, and I guess that's where we're going to leave it for this week. And then we'll come back, and hopefully Kyle will be back here and everything will be good a week from today. So hopefully you enjoyed the podcast, even though the ending was a bit abrupt. He was very apologetic as he walked out the door. But I have no doubt in my mind that he'll be good to go for next week. And hopefully we'll be able to reveal exactly what went down in Kyle's life for that brief period of time. But so, yeah, thanks for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Pass it along, share it with your friends, and we'll talk to you next week on the Steve and Kyle podcast.